This episode of Is This Normal contains triggering content around sexual violence. Please feel free to take the space you need and skip this episode and check out one of our previous ones.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, Patrick.
We must discuss something serious. Is it normal for sexual assaults to go unreported?
Unfortunately, we should speak to an expert to learn how to prevent harm to survivors and reduce risk of sexual assault in the future.
I think I've got just the person to talk to us today. Today we sit down with Dr. Donchi to discuss the prevalence of sexual assault nurse examiners, and what we can all do to help protect survivors and reduce risk. Today we sit down with Dr. Kathy Donchi, an associate professor at the Michigan State University College of Nursing and family nurse practitioner at the MSU Family Medicine Clinic. She's provided educational experiences for students and interprofessional groups for over 30 years. Her research interests have been on patient engagement, advocacy, and shared decision-making. Dr. Donchi recently received a $1.4 million three-year grant from the Health Resources and Service Administration to support education of sexual assault nurse examiners. She has published or presented over 70 papers and reviewed articles and presentations. Dr. Donchi is an experienced educator who has worked on the MSN to DNP and BSN to DNP curriculum revisions for nurse practitioner students at MSU. She's leading efforts to evaluate the present curriculum and implement changes to meet expectations of the new American Association of Colleges of Nursing Essentials. She is the College of Nursing AACN champion for these efforts and is working with leaders across the nation to inform changes related to the essentials. The transformation at MSU to competency-based education has included project planning, which has set timelines and evaluation components. Hello, Dr. Donchi.
Hello.
We are glad you're here. So we are going to be talking a lot about your work with educating sexual assault nurse examiners, but also about sexual assault in general. Could you start out just by telling us a little bit about what SANE nurses are?
Sure. SANE nurses are nurses who are practicing, who are interested in helping those who are sexual assault survivors. They basically are trained through a couple of different methods. They have to have at least 12 weeks of didactic training and then clinical experiences before they can become certified. The SANE nurses, really the focus is on the patient, not on the forensic exam, although they are trained to do the forensic exam, and really more of a trauma-informed focused care. So,
nurses, I think, and I think along with other people, yes, you're focused on the patient, mm-hmm. but what exactly do they do different than if they were to go to an emergency department and see an ER nurse versus a SANE nurse? Like, why? What's sure. the difference? What more are they providing?
Yeah. And, you know, sexual assault survivors often don't know where to go. And one of the places they typically end up is the healthcare system if they choose to go anywhere. And actually, there are federal regulations that require every healthcare system to have someone there that will respond to a sexual assault survivor. And unfortunately, that's often people who are nurses in the ER who might not be trained, or physicians who are expected to do that. With the SANE nurses, they really have had the background in terms of exactly how to approach a patient at that time. They can also do the forensic exam if the individual wants, and they can tell the individual exactly what the process will be if they choose to do the forensic exam. You can do a forensic exam, which is to collect evidence and not send it to the police. And you can hold on to it for a couple of weeks, depending on what that individual wants. Or you can call in the police and legal system right away. But the sexual assault nurse examiner is really there to support the patient in that process. They also not only do the forensic exam, but they talk to them about, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, and do they want any prophylaxis or preventative kinds of things that way, and also connect them to an advocate out in the community. There are sexual assault advocates in every location, and that person can help them afterwards, and they can also, you know, connect them with and encourage them to follow up with their own healthcare providers for mm-hmm. post-assault care.
Do they tend to work exclusively in hospital systems?
The majority do, but actually in the past have. Mm-hmm. Recently, there's been a lot more community organizations that are being developed. And here in Michigan, we have several of those. And these community organizations then reach out to the other hospitals, and the hospitals will identify, will contact them if they have a sexual assault survivor come to them. And the individuals, the nurses who are the same nurses who are part of those groups, then go to the hospital and take care of the patient in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Or they can ask them to come to their facility. So that this way, each hospital doesn't have to have their own 24/7 group of sexual assault nurse examiners, and they can service a wider area.
You know, with sexual assault victims, you don't want to re-traumatize them with the line of questioning and trying to identify what happened, how you can best treat them, and really give them, like, empower them, give them the power back. If you can explain or maybe share a little bit more.
Sure. You know, one of the focuses that we have nationally right now is that it's amazing how many people have been victims of some kind of, you know, trauma. Mm. So there's this concept of trauma-informed care, which really talks to believing the individual, mm-hmm. listening to the individual, and then responding to them as they need the response, and also being aware of how many of the things that we do can be re-traumatizing to mm-hmm. them, particularly with sexual assault survivors, even doing a routine pap smear or whatever. If you aren't aware of what that individual has been through, then you may not be coming at it from the appropriate perspective.
So. Right. How many people are we talking about that are survivors?
I don't know that I know the number of survivors
or
exactly.
reported, right? Because yeah. not everybody reports it either.
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it. One of the websites that does a lot of statistics talks about the fact that every 68 seconds, someone in America is sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of those are people that the individual knows in some way or other. And the vast majority happens near them and near their home in some way. Mm-hmm. So this is not, you know, something that just happens to other people. It happens to anyone. And one of the other groups that's really at high risk are those that are going off to college and, you know, in a new situation and a little more freedom, that kind of thing. They are at very high risk in the adolescent age group.
You talked a little bit about how, say, nurses can provide resources to survivors. What other resources are out there that are available for sexual assault survivors?
The federal government does pay for the services that the hospital provides a sexual assault survivor, so they should not have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. They also should be able to be connected to an advocate in the community, and again, there's no cost to that. That advocate can support them in, you know, particularly in referrals and other kinds of things. You know, in terms of reimbursement, though, or, you know, expectations, mm-hmm. we don't have good structures for follow-up. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, the follow-up is often not done or done in very irregular ways. And again, they've already shared once. Will they then, again, share with their primary care provider? Oftentimes not. So we don't have as good a structure as we should have to cover those things.
So maybe we can switch a little bit of gears. Can you tell us about your HRSA grant? And what are you doing with that much money in 3 years?
What we're doing with the money really is to provide education free to any nurse here in Michigan. And we really have expanded it throughout the state of Michigan. Basically, they are doing a 12-week online educational experience to become a SANE nurse. And then they come here for 2 days, and we do clinical skills with we even have the gynecology assistants, the patients who will allow them to do the pelvic exams and learn the techniques. Okay. And we bring in people from across the state, actually SANE certified nurses, to be the facilitators of that. Okay. So that they get then to meet some really experienced SANE nurses in the process. following that, we try to encourage them to get the hours that they need. To become certified, you have to have 300 hours, okay. which, you know, nurses sometimes do ourselves in, but that's one of the more difficult struggles.
Sure.
But they can practice as a sane nurse if they've had that initial 12-week certification.
Okay.
And then they need to be practicing with others, of course. And one of the things is that this money was meant to be for the rural health areas. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we are reaching those areas, but the struggle once the nurse is done is finding somebody to mentor them in their area. They may or may not have other sane nurses around them. Mm-hmm. And even trying to get the practice hours or the experience, it's a good thing, but, you know, they don't have survivors coming in every day.
Right.
So they could go weeks or even months without having a survivor come to their hospital. So we've actually set up some connections with some of the community agencies in the Detroit area where their sane nurses are willing to take them on for a weekend. In that case, actually, it's kind of unfortunate to have right. to say this, but they get two or three cases a day usually.
Yeah. Sure.
They're servicing multiple hospitals in the Detroit and Kalamazoo and Battle Creek kind of area. So that at least gives them that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And then does that HRSA grant then mm-hmm. help pay for the travel and all yes. of that? So it's not like yep. anything's out of pocket for those that want to do this.
That's correct. Yeah,
that's incredible. Wonderful. How's the response been?
Amazing. Mm-hmm. We have a waiting list to be part of the program. So it's been a really good experience. And everyone who comes really is passionate about this. And it's so good to see that. I think that, as we said, the biggest struggle is getting them to engage in the practice hours afterwards. But as our consultant from the state said, at least we've increased the knowledge base mm-hmm. of a lot of nurses across the state. We have nurses from the UP and from, you know, both sides of the upper northern mm-hmm. Michigan that have come and been part of the program.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible work.
I was just wondering, too, because you mentioned they were having a hard time finding mentors. I mean, with mm-hmm. technology and Zoom and FaceTime and whatnot, is that something that maybe could be added to the component of getting them at least that mentor that they can
yeah.
call up?
Actually, we're not alone in terms of the HRSA grant. The HRSA grants are given out across the nation, mm-hmm. and this actually call has been out once before, so there's some states who have been receiving the funds longer than we have. Pennsylvania is one of those, Texas is another, and they actually have begun to develop some telehealth mm-hmm. Around this where a mentor would be able to telehealth in to somebody who didn't have the experience. And I'm thinking this grant will probably call will come out again. And that was one thing that we were thinking of doing as a group, trying to find a way that we could potentially add that, because I think that would really help in supporting the new sane nurses and having their comfort level increased. We've had some really great consultants. I couldn't do this without them. Dr. Rebecca Campbell is here on campus. And she actually helped to start the MSU Sexual Assault Healthcare Program.
Okay.
And that is a 24/7 sane nurses are here on campus for any students or local individuals. But we have some really excellent nurses here that are doing that. And Dr. Campbell also has done research on sexual assault and even the pathophysiology of that and how people respond. And she's been doing this for 20 years, so it's been really great to have her as a mentor. And in addition, we have an individual who is part of the national group, and she actually also works with the armed forces in this and has helped develop some of the national guidelines.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. What about, okay, so you mentioned MSU sexual assault mm-hmm. healthcare. Mm-hmm. What about those that are not on campus? What resources are available?
Here in the Lansing area, Sparrow has a SANE program. Okay. And there is you can even go on to the national IAFN, which is the International Association of Forensic Nurses, mm-hmm. and they have a listing of all of the SANE programs. One of the reasons we were able to get the grant, really, though, is that we have a map of Michigan that we've done. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the map shows all the programs are below Clare. And just a few scattered programs above that. So that's why we've been trying to reach out to those rural areas. And we are, as a second part of the grant, we're actually going to be doing some focus groups in those areas. One of the things is that they also, most areas have sexual assault response teams, even in the rural areas, and that's more about the forensic side of it, the legal side of it. But SANE nurses can be involved in that too, and we're trying to figure out ways that we can support this. Mm-hmm. As a SANE nurse and being on call, if you don't have a program like Michigan State does that pays you to be there, right. You're really, it's difficult for nurses mm-hmm. because then they can't be on call for their own work or right. they can't be working. Right. And on the times that they're on call. So it's challenging. That plus this is not an easy thing to do. And they get some trauma as right. well by going through all these experiences. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have a lot of support, that can be difficult.
Yeah, it's an important point you make. I think we see that in a lot of the caregiving work that providers and mm-hmm. other disciplines experiences. It can be traumatizing to the people who are there to care.
Yeah, they call it vicarious mm-hmm. trauma. And you can carry that with you, too, if you don't have somewhere to talk about that with them.
Right, yeah.
Is there any other information that we haven't asked about that you would like to share with either people who are interested in applying to a SANE program or for survivors of sexual assault?
For those who are interested in this, I mean, we have our program, there's other programs, and you can actually go online and begin to do this even without being part of a program. There's a cost mm-hmm. to that, but there is an online program. Anybody can reach out to us as well. We're on the MSU College of Nursing website and look at that. And in terms of survivors, I think the bigger thing there is I think it's being willing to reach out mm-hmm. and being willing to admit that this happened to you. Some people have a difficulty, you know, talking about it even. And if they don't do that, eventually that's can cause other things. I think one of the things that there's a lot of information on is that sexual assault survivors and survivors of violence in general will end up often with multiple chronic conditions that mm-hmm. really relate back to this, or potentially even, you know, substance abuse mm-hmm. concerns and chronic pain, depression. All of those things can be linked back to this. And sometimes if you don't ask as a primary care provider, you're not going to hear that piece of it. And so you're just treating the symptoms rather than mm-hmm. treating the problem. I guess the only other thing I would add would be that it is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And one of the most important thing for all of us to do is that if anyone should come to you and say that they think they were sexually assaulted, you need to believe them.
Absolutely.
One of the biggest concerns of sexual assault survivors is that people won't believe them, and oftentimes they're not believed. Mm-hmm. And going through the system of justice here yes. isn't very just in my mind sometimes, sure. and it's a very difficult process for them. So believing them and supporting them. And I think talking about this, even with your, you know, teenagers or whatever, talking about consent and what's mm-hmm. truly consent and being safe where you're going.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Letting them know that there is help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Donchi, thank you so much. This is a sometimes difficult topic to talk about, but I'm so grateful that you and your team are out there making a difference and have given us a lot of insight on a tragic topic, really. But your generosity with your time is very much appreciated. You are not done, however, because while this is a heavy topic, we have a tradition here of asking our guests a hard-hitting question.
Very difficult.
Very difficult. So I hope you studied. So I understand, if I know nothing else about you, that you love spending your free time with your grandkids.
That's true.
What's your favorite children's book?
Oh, I don't know. I read so many.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite to read to them?
10 Little Monkeys.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a good one. Is that their favorite?
Probably not. Their favorite is now the iPad.
Oh.
Are there books on that?
Not exactly.
Oh, right.
But there are lots of little movies and things like that.
Yes,
the mermaids.
Yes.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you or someone you know is seeking help or wants to learn more about the content discussed on today's podcast, please see the podcast description for links to directly access information, resources, and specialized support.
To find your breaking news and latest updates with the College of Nursing, please refer to our website at nursing.msu.edu. You can also find us on Twitter and on Instagram at MICHSTNursing. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Donchi, but we also want to thank you, the listener, for joining us. We are your hosts, Dr. Jackie Eisler and
Dr. Patrick Crane.
And remember to wash your hands.
Wash those hands.